This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host here, Dan Wilson, and this episode is going to be a bit of a Clearwater notebook, if you will. A lot of stuff that needs to be gotten into as we inch closer and closer to that Grapefruit League opener. Very excited about that coming up here in, you know, just a few days, and a lot of different places to get to. A lot of different quotes. First of all, you know, Bryce Harper seems to be back on the field after dealing with some food poisoning. Trey Turner back on the field after him and his wife welcomed a new baby. Nick Castellanos was always out there. Alec Bohm out there. The manager has been speaking. A lot to dive into. And I guess we'll just go one by one here. I'll start with the quote that really has stuck out to me thus far, you know, out of spring training, which is that Trey Turner finally returns to Clearwater. Got asked, you know, about basically how last season ended. Trey Turner stock way down here in Philadelphia. He, you know, end of last season was not good at the plate, chasing a lot, was not good in the field, was a bad defensive shortstop. Just before I even go any further, I said at the end of last season, and I'll say it again just to stay consistent, I actually feel like it's organizational, pretty close to organizational malpractice that this guy is basically allowed to, you know, go out there and continually play shortstop for this baseball team. He has proven not to be a major league shortstop. The Phillies are getting nowhere near the value they paid for him in terms of what he's been defensively. He makes far too many errors, and that's in the era of where it feels like nobody actually gets errors anymore. He makes far too many dumb plays. I think back to that play in the division series last year where it was the bases loaded, and he basically just like got down to block it like a little leaguer who was told just not to let the ball out of the infield. And that's, you know, basically where, like, that's where his mindset is at. That's where his game is at. It's like, just not let the ball go out of the infield, get the easy out. He's a major league shortstop. He should be able to turn to. And it's insane that he wasn't able to turn to on a play like that. So not the biggest fan of Trey Turner as a defensive shortstop. And it's not as if he's making up for it at the plate either. I mean, he is, this is a guy who, I mean, quite literally chasing all kinds of pitches out of the zone. Really, he's only had one good stretch at the plate in Philadelphia, like post-ovation for a little bit. Didn't really rub off in the year 2024. He, you know, has not been worth the contract. He's been one of the worst contracts in baseball since arriving with the Phillies. at the beginning. Well, I guess he signed in December of 22, but really to start the 23 season and then now through the 24 season. So 2 years in, he has not been great at all. And listen, here's a guy who is supposed to be one of the leaders of your team, both on and off the field. Used to be a multi-time All-Star, supposed to be one of the faces of baseball, and just has not been that with the Phillies. So the quote I wanted to get to that is making it its way out of Clearwater, and this is rubbing me the wrong way, is that he hasn't looked back or he hasn't watched back any of the playoff games or games towards the end of last season. He hasn't watched any of those games back, watched any of those at-bats back. He's turning the page, which I always find it interesting how athletes view their failures. I mean, athletes deal with failures in a number of different ways. It's become like the modern-day thing that anytime a team celebrates on your home field or even on a neutral field or away field, that some guy on the team always stays out there to watch the celebration and someone captures the photo and it's like, yeah, this guy's making a mental note of it. And then sometimes it becomes a thing of like, that guy's got dog mentality and he's going to use that to his advantage in the future. And then other guys don't want to be bothered, don't want to watch that kind of thing. Then when you deal with failures, like the way the Phillies lost last year in four games, there were a lot of at-bats to not be proud of in that series. And if you're the Phillies, you're looking at games that, obviously would be painful to go back and rewatch. But if you're Trey Turner, it might be helpful to go learn from your mistakes, might be helpful to go watch film on that. If those games happened in the middle of the season, he'd probably be going back and watching film on that. But the flip side of that is certain guys are just like, you got to turn the page, you got to like flush it and move on. In this particular case, it feels like an instance where the Phillies should be forced to rewatch some of those at-bats, learn from their old ways. Kevin Long pulls him in the video room and is like, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. Like maybe making a mechanical adjustment, something like that. It doesn't really sit great with me that they're just trying to do the, hey, let's move on kind of thing. That seems a little, a little missing the mark, so to speak. Like a little, like you're not really in tune to what the problem was, and those who don't learn from history repeat it. Like if Trey Turner is unwilling to go back and rewatch his old at bats from last season, how are we supposed to trust this guy when it comes to the same situation? It's not even in the postseason next year, but just talking about like the regular season, April, May, and June, for early days, the dog days of summer. Why should his at bats be any different if he's just like, yeah, we're going to move on, going to, just stick to my game plan and approach and things will come my way? Like, there's a difference between an athlete and, in baseball, if you're just in a slump and you're going to hit your way out of it and maybe it's something mental and you just need to move on and not think about baseball and get away from it for a little bit and then come back, that's one thing. If there's actually a mechanical thing or like an approach thing that is different, if he's not reading pitches out of the hand, and it's not just him, I'm just using his quote, but if there's an actual like tangible thing that Phillies players need to be doing differently to like recognize the fact that they are doing the wrong thing, like if there is a tangible thing that they could be doing to change this, that's something I absolutely want them to learn from. If a basketball player, is in a shooting slump and it's like, all right, I'll just, shoot or shoot, keep taking your shots and eventually they'll go down, that's one thing. If the guy's got his elbow out when his elbow should be tucked in, that's another thing. If he's making mental mistakes, that's another thing. I feel like, the ability to read a pitch and the ability to understand the pitcher game planning against you, there's a mental edge when you get into that batter's box. And pitchers, for the Mets last year, did not have an extremely difficult time getting Phillies hitters out, with the exception of 4 or 5 innings in game two where, Bryce hits a home run and Castellanos hits a home run to get it back tied. And then ultimately Castellanos like walks off the game, like that was a lot different than that was a lot different than the rest of the series, where game one offense wasn't really great, games three and four in New York offense wasn't really great, and it didn't feel like it was just a matter of, well, all right, they were the better team on that day. Like, it just looked like the Mets were the better team. The Phillies had been having those kinds of struggles throughout the tail end of the season. So not really buying the idea that he is refusing to watch film on this kind of irks me. Kind of irks me that that wouldn't be an emphasis in spring. Maybe he's playing coy. Who the hell knows? But it feels like that's something that should absolutely be like drilled and addressed. And like, we will not make these mistakes again. This absolutely cannot happen. This was our downfall last year. This was our downfall in game 6 and 7 against Arizona. Like, this is something that absolutely needs to change. And then, you know, kind of last thing on this thought that I absolutely do not want to see happen with the Phillies, and it's happened the last couple of years, and I hope we don't get to that point, which is like, there's a real apathy that has obviously set in Philadelphia with the Sixers. And that apathy is not something, it doesn't make it fun to be a fan. It feels like everyone's just like, get me to the playoffs and we'll see what they do kind of thing. No one really gives a damn about the regular season. And there's such apathy and like disdain for the Sixers that people don't even trust that they'll make it there or what, make the play-in or whatever ends up happening there. But with the Phillies, like in baseball, the regular season matters. It's not a season where you can just fast forward 162 and get there. This Castellanos quote I'm going to talk about in a second kind of alludes to the fact that he's on the same page with me about not wanting to just like fast forward to October. Like, there's a long, going to Clearwater isn't about getting through April, May, June, July, and August. You know, getting to Clearwater is about, you know, setting yourself up for the season nicely and setting yourself up for a long 162 game haul. That's part of the ride. You can't just fast forward to the playoffs and expect like that's how this works. It's not the NBA. This is not the Sixers. So I'll get to that Castellanos quote here in a second, which was that, so Nick Castellanos asked about, you know, blatantly asked, you know, what are your thoughts about this team? Like, why is this team better equipped for October this time around than in prior years, than what happened this past season? And he said exactly actually kind of what I want him to say. I mean, I understand that we live in an era and a sports culture where everything is defined by championships, and the Philly season being a success or failure will absolutely be defined by what they do in the postseason. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is they're not in Clearwater to get ready for October. They're in Clearwater to get ready for opening day. And like in baseball, you have to master your 162 game regular season before you can start worrying about October. You can't just do the postseason thing and be like, yeah, like we know this team's going to be in October. Why is this team going to be better 7 months from now? This is a long haul of a season. The regular season matters. There will be a divisional race between the Braves, you know, Mets getting better with Soto, obviously, and the Phillies. There's going to be a real race in the NL East. A lot of the odds makers say that three of the top five teams in the National League reside in the National League East. Actually, going to do a quick check on that to see if that still holds up, but I believe that is the case. So, you know, we're talking about it, you know, a baseball team that's going to be in the thick of things. We're talking about a baseball team that is expected to do a lot. So yeah, right now, to win the World Series, the Phillies actually have equal odds to the Mets. The Dodgers have the best odds, plus 240. The Yankees have plus 700. Braves plus 900, Phillies and Mets tied at plus 1100. So the Phillies and Mets considered like on an even playing field. Braves considered the favorites to win the NL East. If you go to, you know, NL East betting odds, plus 135 for the Braves, Phillies and Mets plus 195, and then quite the drop off. Plus 10,000 for the Nationals, plus 25,000 for the Marlins. And then you could even go as far as, you know, win totals to see what the odds makers think of these teams. The Braves win total, 93.5. The New York Mets regular season win total, 91.5. The Phillies, 90.5. So, I mean, they're all, like, the odds makers all think that there's three 90-win teams in this division. I'm looking forward to a fun NL East race. Like, this could be a three-headed race. Feels like it's been a while since we've had a true, like, division race down the stretch. The Phillies, you know, it took a few extra days than they should have to win the division in 2024. But that's, you know, that kind of just was whatever. That wasn't, like, really that big a deal. That felt like it kind of just came with the territory of, like, all right, they're backing their way in. They weren't playing their best baseball. Like, this is a baseball team with real regular season expectations. You can't just get to the playoffs and expect that everything's just going to, all right, that's the reset. Like, we'll get to that point when we get to October. We'll hit that point in August and September where we'll say, get me to October. But there are far too many benchmarks along the course of a long 162-game baseball season, which is twice the length of an NBA schedule, where I'm comfortable saying, like, get me to October. And I really hope that the mindset of the city isn't, like, fast forward to October. I enjoy baseball and regular season baseball far too much, like, far too much to be the guy who says, like, you know, just get me to the postseason. Like, that is not something that I am comfortable doing. That's not something where I feel like that applies to this sport. It's not something that applies to this team. Like, you know, in baseball, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have ebbs and flows of the season. In the NBA, I know Embiid's been hurt all year this season, so it's not, like, it's not a good example. But in the NBA, typically your best players are the ones who shine. If Embiid's on the court, he's healthy, and or Maxey's on the court, or, you know, Jared McCain when he was on the court. Like, those are your playmakers. In baseball, one night Bryce Harper's going to be the guy. The next night Alec Bohm is going to be a guy. You know, one random night Garrett Stubbs is going to be filling in for JT Realmuto or Rafael Marchand over against that backup catcher spot, and they're going to be the guy. One night you're going to get seven to eight innings strong from Zach Wheeler. Another night you got to get through a bullpen game. Each game takes on its own personality in a way that I don't think happens in other sports. And if we lose sight of that, if we lose sight of the beauty of baseball and the marathon that it is, and it starts with spring training. That starts with the spring training opener this Saturday in Clearwater. Like, they got 31 games in Florida to play, and then they got, you know, what, 31 games in Florida followed by 162, you know, regular season games. You're talking 193 at that point. And then hopefully a month-long postseason run. Like, this is a team that we cannot afford to, like, lose sight of the journey there. I know it's easy to get antsy. I know it's easy to remember last season. That'd be the lasting image. No one's going to buy. If they have regular season success, I completely, completely understand that there will be people out there being like, well, they were good last year. Like, they were on an unbelievable pace last year. In April and May and June, and why should I buy this team is going to have success in October? I'm not saying you have to buy into that. There are teams who have had plenty of regular season success and then not turn it over to the postseason all the time in baseball history. Just, like, literally, last year was the first year the Dodgers had won in my lifetime in a full 162-game season. I know we, you know, can always credit them for the 2020 season, but that was the first time where they actually went through the full, you know, slog of, like, spring training to postseason and were the best team in baseball. And look at all the things it took them. It finally took them getting Shohei Ohtani and putting all these other pieces together to finally get over that hump. They've been running, and I mean running, that NL West for years and years and years at this point. Like, they have been the absolute, you know, like, masters at it. And to say that they hadn't been having successful seasons, like, I just think is ridiculous.
I'm Joanne Robinson. Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.